Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. And joining us right now is Dr. Hiren Patel, Chief Medical Officer at United Healthcare, providing insights on how parents can facilitate necessary conversations with their kids about mental health and mental wellness. Dr. Patel, how you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me, Chris. I'm doing great.
Well, I'm so glad you're joining us because it's a new age. When I say it's a new age, we're on this side of the pandemic. There's still different things going on with COVID. But more importantly, when the pandemic hit, a lot of kids went through a major struggle. They went through the struggle of being isolated. They had to learn virtually. A lot of them were hearing all kinds of mixed messages on social media. And let's just put it quite simply, they had an information overload, and that caused a lot of stress. Can you talk about a little bit about how parents can understand what the kids are going through now based upon what they had gone through over the last couple of years?
Well, great topic here and great question. Thanks for having me once again. One of the things that COVID has done is it has changed the way our kids, you know, behave. They go to school, and also, you know, the child's mental health. You know, we're seeing more cases, so it's very important that as a parent, we kind of listen to the child, we sit down with the kid, and understand what's going on, and try to participate and try to understand, you know, the child's behavior, their feelings, mm-hmm. and emotions. And this new era after COVID, you know, things are a little different. So it's important that we pay attention to these issues.
Exactly, because some of them have taken it to the extreme. It's a shocking survey, but there are a lot of youth who actually either attempted suicide or were successful. It's a youth mental health crisis, and it's kind of like an underlying story that a lot of people either know about, but quite a few don't know how to handle. They don't know what to say. If you are talking to the parents, and there are a lot of them who are listening, what are some of the tips you might give them on how they should have conversations with their kids?
Well, the mental health is as important as the physical development,
yes,
and growth.
Yes.
And, you know, it's important that we start discussing this early in child's life. So, I know COVID pandemic was a source of stress for many, and we saw an increase in especially the adolescents' mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And again, if we don't treat that or don't diagnose this, then it carry into the adulthood. And CDC data is out there on the children's mental health that shows that, you know, diagnosis of ADD, anxiety, depression, and other mental disorders become increasingly prevalent with the age. So, and 6 to 11, that's the age, you know, we see higher issues before, like, than the younger or elder child.
Is that right?
So as a parent,
can you slow down right here? Because that's very important. A lot of people may assume it's with teenagers, but you're saying between the ages of 6 and 11 is there's a lot of stress and anxiety.
That's right, 6 and 11. And that's why it's important to understand their behavioral problems. And the best way as a parent can do that is, you know, again, listen to your child, mm-hmm. understand their emotions, sit down with them, because this mental health can be very daunting and confusing to kids. So it's important that, you know, the healthy practices that we follow, we educate our children with, is also, you know, as important.
You know, I always tell my kids, and I try to tell a lot of parents, you want to try to be the greater influence, because they're influenced by so many things nowadays, especially with social media and access to things online. Can you talk about how important it is to actually allow your kids to talk to you, but more importantly, to let them know that everything online, you know, the bullying or even things that may not even be true and that might upset them, that they can talk about it with somebody this older.
And I'm glad you're bringing that up, Chris, because one of the thing, the kid got confused easily.
Yeah.
So it's important that as a parent, we control the information going to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that we sit down with them, you know, we listen to them. If they're having any anxiety or fear or even anger, it's okay to have those emotions. And they can talk about their emotions with the parents and us. So it's also important that we pay attention to how the child is behaving when they come home from school. So if they're excessively worrying, or if they're very nervous or anxious,
mm-hmm.
if their school grades are affected, if their sleeping and eating habits are poor, if their behavior, you're seeing swings, you know, volatile behavior, I call it, or very irritable mood. And those things are important, especially also if they have trouble communicating. And those are the symptoms and signs you see where you actually want to see the professional and get the counsel. And I also always encourage the parents to to have the routines. So it's important, you know, while you're managing their social media exposure, is to also develop the routines in their you know, behavior in their day. So after school, sports, the hobbies, they're great. It helps them with the stress, you know, but also it's important that they come home and they don't stay, you know, over. They go at a certain time and have a good night's sleep. It's as important.
You know what? I think you brought up something very important. Kids need structure in their life. They need to know the boundaries, because a lot of kids, they will try to test the boundaries, but also kids just need the comfort of boundaries. Like you said, going to bed at a certain time every night, knowing that that's what time to go to bed, or knowing this is the time to study for your homework, it's structure. Can you talk about the importance of structure, something that they can count on?
Well, it's important to have a structure because, you know, as the kids are growing, they learn, they listen from others and the environment. So giving them the routines kind of help them, you know, manage their schedule better, manage their stress better. And they learn and grab this quickly from parents. And then at the same time, you know, if the kids are sleeping well, they're eating well, and they're getting this wellness visits on time, you know, proper mental health screening and assessments on time, it's going to get them, you know, let them do better in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Their grades will reflect it, and the kids will be overall happier. They'll participate in sports, and overall, you know, it just win-win for both parent and the kid. And the child's upbringing, you know, and those age group we mentioned earlier, it's important, especially post-COVID era, that we pay, you know, attention to our child. And again, I cannot emphasize this enough. We got to sit down and spend time with the kid, listen to them, learn their emotions. And there's no other way to do that.
Yeah, you actually have to spend time with them. You cannot just let them watch a tablet and watch the TV shows and let the TV shows raise them. Or you can also not let just the teachers raise them. Teachers are there to teach, not necessarily to raise the children. They have influence, but they're there to try to help the children learn. How important is it to have a relationship with the teachers and the educators?
Well, that's, again, an excellent question. Because many times, you know, our kids, so when they come home, they behave differently. And the teachers, you know, they spend majority of the time with the children, with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the kids are in the school, and they also know they're, you know, if they're asking questions, if the kid is sitting in a corner versus interacting with other kids, you know, if their grades in the school, you know, suddenly the grades were doing great, but now it's performing poorly, and the kids seem withdrawn or not talking to other kids, or excessively irritable, other symptoms, you know, that the teacher will know them right away. So it's important to have that, you know, the channel of communication with the teachers. So we get an understanding, you know, how the kids are doing, not just at home, but also in the school environment. These are both different environments.
Yeah.
So the kids will have different, behavior at both locations.
That's right. And that's what's always surprising to some parents. They're like, well, that's not how she's at home. Well, that's not how he behaves at home. And they're always surprised. So it's great to have a great relationship with the educators so you can match it all up and you can work together to help the children, you know, learn better and also have, you know, like you said, some peace, some mental wellness. We're talking to Dr. Hiram Patel, the chief medical officer with United Healthcare. Like I said, school is back and kids are dealing with the different things. And, you know, it used to be when we were growing up, parents wanted to keep up with the kids' friends. Who are the kids' friends and who are the ones that they're interacting with and, you know, maybe having influence on that level, peer to peer? Can you talk about the addition of having to keep an eye on social media or what they're watching online or the other influences? In other words, not just the kids that are their age or that they physically see, but the other ways that they interact. Can you talk about how they have to be aware if the kids are on TikTok and stuff like that?
Well, again, it's hard to control the information that's out there mm-hmm. on social media. And, you know, the kids, they will grasp it quickly. And as long as, so it's important to have the parental control because we don't know what they're watching out there.
Right.
And we can't be out there if they have unlimited access to social media. And sometimes the information or misinformation they see, they learn from it. And they don't know what's right and wrong.
Right.
So as a parent, it's important that, you know, we manage the exposure of our kids on social media. And I'm not saying it's all bad out there.
Right, right.
I'm saying
but the sum of everything. Yeah.
That's right. So for kids won't know what is wrong and what is right. And as a parent, it's our job to make sure that they understand, you know, what is wrong and what is right for themselves and for their life. So that's why I say that there's more emphasis on outdoor sports and school games and mm-hmm. anyone you can spend time with your kids playing the card games or, you know, whatever game they like to play with in your backyard or out in the playground. So social media, in my opinion, and the kids' exposure is very critical. And we won't know if that's affecting their mental health and well-being.
How much should the parents keep up with the kids who are gamers, the ones who do video games, the ones who use esports? Because esports is a lot of fun, and you know, there's actually scholarships involved nowadays. And once they grow up, they may be able to earn money and earn a living with esports. But sometimes, you know, because they're interacting with, you know, people all over the world, and you know, also you can't let that dominate their lives over education. Can you talk about balancing the esports with the kids, especially the under the age of 10 or 11?
Well, there is a guidance out there from American Academy of Pediatrics mm-hmm. that no more than 60 minutes on school days and, you know, maybe an hour or two during the weekend or holidays. This is for the kids who are 6 and older. So 6 and under, it's 30 minutes or less.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the content is important too, you know, because some of the games have graphic violence or some sexual content. So we need to avoid those games.
And the number one thing is you've got to be a part of your kids' lives. And I know there's a lot of, you know, parents, especially ones with younger kids, they may be working a couple of jobs in this gig economy. Can you talk about how parents should make sure that they balance their own lives so that they can spend quality time with their children's lives?
Well, we can overemphasize the balancing work and you know, the home life.
Mm-hmm.
So work-life balance. And, you know, it's demanding out there, right, for any job. the parents are doing or any business they are with. So it's important that, you know, the parents also follow the routines and, you know, certain time is designated for their kids. And they do that, you know, on a consistent basis and don't bring the work at home when they're with their child. And so use of cell phones while you're spending time with your child or mm-hmm. use of social media by the parent when they're spending time with the child. Again, your kids are watching you. They're learning from you. So I think it's important to have those good habits as a parent and then have an active engagement, you know, listening and those skills with the kid and then playing with the kid. And at the same time, sitting down with the child, you know, from time to time and understand their emotions and feelings and what they've done in the school. And is there, you know, anything else you can support your kids with?
You know, in those old movies or some of those old TV shows, the families would sit down at the dinner table or breakfast table and they would talk about what's going on in their lives. I think in the 21st century, some of those days are gone. It's not for everybody. And maybe it happens once a week on maybe a Sunday, or maybe it happens when they're off to school or everybody's grabbing something through the drive-thru. Can you talk about how you have to find the times to spend with your kids and ask them what's going on? I know me personally, I spend a lot of time with my kids actually driving them to their activities and asking them what's going on, whether it's coming home from school, going, taking them to school, taking them to different activities that they were going to, or even if it was a family outing, I spent, instead of having the radio on, I would talk to the kids. Can you talk about how important that is and maybe some places that I didn't mention where they might have a chance to visit with the kids and casually talk about what's going on with them?
Well, I mean, you mentioned watching movies and, you know, supporting the kids that way. Mm-hmm. If the kids are, you know, especially school aged, it's important, you know, sometimes doing this together and appropriate shows, they can learn this early literacy skills. It also boosts their empathy. Again, depends on the content.
Mm-hmm.
And this helps, you know, to manage their aggression and behavior. And this happens silently. So as a parent, again, the content is very important when you're doing the, you know, when you're selecting a show or a movie with your child.
Have you a story that you might want to share where, you know, maybe some parents went through some trying times, but there was some success on the other end after they visited with a professional?
Well, I had to get that question again. Sorry.
I was asking if there was a story you might be able to share where some parents maybe were noticing that their child's behavior was a little bit different. They seemed a little stressed or they weren't, their grades had started failing, and they actually sat down and talked to a professional and maybe where they could go if they wanted to talk to a professional.
Well, again, the symptoms I mentioned earlier, you know, the aggressive behavior, mood swings, grade changes.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing to do is to find the pediatrician or a counselor and understand, you know, what's going on. Especially, it's important to find the healthcare professional who are, you know, experts in the field. There's a lot of information. If you don't know what to do, is to visit the United Healthcare website, like UHC.com. And you can learn about, you know, the preventative care, the child wellness visits,
mm-hmm.
Which include the mental health screening, by the way. And not just that, they also will do the assessment for the child's growth, the development, go over the vaccinations, the sport physicals, you know, those paperwork. Mm-hmm. They can take care of that while you're sitting down with your physicians. And again, it's an opportunity to have that mental health screening if you're concerned. So I think it's. You have, again, a lot of information on United Healthcare website, but it's, again, important if your child is struggling is to take time and take it to the professionals.
Exactly. Don't try to do it alone, and you're not alone. Again, Dr. Hiren Patel, Chief Medical Officer with United Healthcare, I just thought of something. I know whenever I'm physically trying to figure something out, let's say I'm trying to change a garbage disposal or do something, change a lock in the house, I usually wind up going on YouTube to find out some things. Is that another good resource where, you know, you might be able to hear some speakers or someone who, you know, as you prepare to meet with a professional face-to-face? Is YouTube or one of those, if you Google up some information and they might have a video available?
Well, the problem again with the content out there, which are not managed, is the first question you ask is how reliable is the content?
That's true.
Because in medical world, it's important that we follow the evidence. You know, is it proven by research trials? And so if you want a reliable information, if you want, you know, the quality physicians, if you want the rating, it's important to go to the location where the information is vetted. And those things are out there on the websites for the health plan.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can get those information also through your provider, which you can trust, and have a meeting with them on one-on-one versus relying on YouTube videos.
You know,
I would
what?
Say it's important.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
What I was saying is it's important that the source of information is also verified, because YouTube has everything.
Yeah.
And you don't know who to trust and which video is giving the proper information you should follow with.
This is excellent advice, because in all seriousness, we're talking about kids as opposed to, you know, an object in the home, you know, or something you need to fix with instructions that come within a manual. And it's best to reach out to somebody in person, because the video may not match what your child is actually going through. And only a professional firsthand in person can actually provide accurate information. Am I right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's an extensive training, you know, whether you see a nurse at the school or mm-hmm. a social worker or a counselor or a physician, and they know exactly the signs and symptoms, and they guide you to the right channels.
See, this is exactly why we're talking, because you've just provided some excellent information. Because like I said, I'm like a lot of people. I'm thinking, okay, maybe I can go online to fix it. Not with kids. You know, you might find a TED Talk for an adult that needs some inspiration in the corporate world, or you might, you know, like I said, you want to, you know, fix a desk at your, you know, you find out a product you want to use. That's completely different than children and their mental health. And that's why this is so important that we're visiting with you, especially because youth mental health is a crisis right now, especially coming out of this pandemic. Dr. Patel, is there any other information you want to provide for anybody before we let you go?
Well, I would like to emphasize, you know, if you're a busy schedule and if you have an established physician visits, sometimes you can also get this information to have virtual visits
mm-hmm.
where you can
That's
have
true.
A TV screen shared, right? You can have a TV screen shared.
Right. That's better than YouTube. Have a Zoom, do a Teams. Yes.
Exactly. And you can have your provider on the other side and you can ask those questions. And now you are right at the information there where you can trust. And again, use the technology in a way that the information is reliable.
Ironically, that's one of the pivots. They call it the pivot. You know, when the pandemic hit, you know, people started working at home. Kids were learning virtually. Well, guess what? You may have access to a healthcare provider or a mental wellness specialist that, because you can't necessarily go to the office, they can come to you via your computers, via your tablets. I love it. I love it. It's called taking care of business. Dr. Patel, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you again, Chris, for having me.
Our next guest is Ayla Culver. She's with NSYNC Exotics, a nonprofit dedicated to caring for rescued exotic feline animals in North Texas. Are we talking about exotic cats?
We are.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, let me tell you something. Ayla, I'm so glad you're on, because about a month ago, it's like the Tiger King all over again. Somebody had an exotic tiger in their home in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I don't
yeah.
know if you heard this story, but can you tell
we
us?
Did.
I figured you guys were involved in it some kind of way. Tell us about what you know about that story and how you just don't really want to have that around the house unless you're an expert.
Right. So I have limited information, but what I do know is that the police were called. There was an investigation of some possible animal cruelty including like dog fighting and cockfighting in somebody's like backyard. And so when they got there to do the investigation, and when people like the authorities showed up, they were very surprised to find a tiger in a cage in the backyard. And so we did, we were contacted by several local news authorities. I don't have any updated information as far as like where the tiger is. I'm sure it was taken to an accredited sanctuary. But we have gotten cats from issues like this. In fact, not that terribly long ago, just a couple years ago, we got a cougar who was in a similar situation in somebody's backyard in Dallas. And luckily he's fine now, but when we found him, he didn't have really any water to speak of. There was a little bit of like dog kibble in the crate with him, which spoiler alert, dog kibble is not what they eat. And he was in like this tiny little 2x3 foot metal crate. And he was so hungry that he didn't know it at the time, but he had eaten rubber matting out of that crate.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And that caused some real problems after we rescued him. He was doing great. And then all of a sudden he stopped eating and we couldn't figure out what was going on. Luckily we have on-site vet clinic and had an experienced veterinarian, took him in for some x-rays, and the vet immediately saw what was wrong, rushed him into emergency surgery, and removed over a pound of rubber matting and just other stuff.
Oh my goodness.
If our vet wouldn't have caught that when he did, like Tallulah wouldn't be with us. Yeah, unfortunately, it's kind of the wild, wild west a little bit. A lot of people in Texas, and a lot of states, honestly, but, are like, well, nobody's going to tell me what I can or can't do, or, what quote unquote pets I can or can't have. These guys are not pets. They are wild animals. They do not belong in captivity. They are not suited for this life. Like, they belong out in the wild. But unfortunately, people think it's cool to breed them, to buy them, to sell them, to have them in their backyard. They think it makes them cool. It doesn't. It just means that, you are sadly lacking in other areas. And if you feel like you need this to be cool, clearly you are focused on yourself and not the health and well-being of the animal, which is what has to come first and foremost, when you're dealing with these guys. So,
oh yeah, for sure. You know, it's so amazing. I think sometimes people, again, there's some people would look at it as a status symbol, but there's also some people that see them when they're young and think, oh, they're so cute, but they grow up.
They do.
And they are not cats, like house cats. They're more expensive to keep, and you have to feed them, and they're used to being out in the wild, even if it's in West Texas somewhere.
Yeah, these guys are, they're absolutely adorable when they're young, and they're still cute when they grow up. But, I can understand why people's like, oh, they're so cute, but also like think about. Yeah, they do grow up. And even when they are small, like, okay, so think about your average like house cat that you've got in your house, right? If that cat gets scared or startled or, upset for some reason, and you end up bearing the brunt of that, okay, think about the damage that does. Now multiply that. Because even bobcats that are native to North America and are not terribly much bigger than your average domestic house cat, like, they still will pack way more of a punch than just your house cat, and what kind of damage your house cat can do.
Oh yeah.
so So one, from just a human safety standpoint, you know, there's that, and people kind of assume that, well, if I get this cat when they're small, and if I train it well, then it won't ever bite or scratch me, or it won't destroy my furniture, or it won't pee on the sofa, or, you know, whatever. And even like if a cat isn't meaning to do harm, like the fact of the matter is they still have, like for tigers, their claws are several inches long. Their teeth are several inches long. Even if they're just playing, you know, they can do a lot of damage.
And they're so strong.
Yeah, they are so much stronger than humans are. So even for the ones that, you know, are quote unquote trained and are used to human interaction, that definitely does not eliminate any sort of risk. Their instincts are intact. Like, it's coded in their DNA. That prey response.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not even a let me think about this. It doesn't even cross that part of the brain. It's just an instinctual response. So. Yeah, it's for so many reasons. It's not a good idea to try and have any of these as pets. And you know, that doesn't even speak to the fact of the matter that, you know, a lot of these animals have such a terrible life. You know, they're not suited to being in small enclosures.
And no.
They're not suited to, you know, being inside, and they are obligate carnivores, which means they have to eat meat. And it needs to, like, they have very specific nutritional requirements that are not going to be met by just opening a can of cat food or dog food or like throwing some, you know, some chicken thighs that you bought at Walmart.
Right. In fact, you're going right down the path I was going to ask you about. I was going to ask you, what do they eat? Because, again, they don't eat cat food.
Right. Right.
How many pounds?
Well, that's kind of it depends. So we have cats all the way from the size of like bobcats and servals, which are much, much smaller. So they'll eat maybe a quarter, half pound a day. And then we've got tigers and lions that are eating, you know, that could eat up to 10 pounds a day. So it just kind of depends on the individual species, their particular appetite and metabolism. But they are all obligate carnivores, so they eat red meat. Some of our smaller cats, like the bobcats and servals and lynx, will get more chicken and more poultry because that more closely matches what they would naturally be hunting and eating out in the wild. But all of our cats have very specific diets. There's an entire board in our commissary that lists out how much, you know, how much of exactly what type of meat each cat gets every day, if they get any medications, if they get any supplements. Some of our older cats are on supplements for their joints or kidney issues. Some of our cats may need some support with vitamins and minerals. So all of our cats, like no two cats' diets are exactly the same. Yeah, hats off to our commissary volunteers, because you know, this is a thing that happens, like, you know, every day. And they have to make sure that they get it right with who gets what. And it's a big job, and it's often a thankless job, but it's so incredibly important.
And so are you guys. We're talking with Aaliyah Culver of the NSYNC Exotics. You guys are a nonprofit, been around for a while, since the 1990s, and you're dedicated, of course, to caring for rescued exotic feline animals. My question, you mentioned the variety that are over there that you guys are taking care of. How many do you have right now as we speak?
So right now we have 74 cats. And,
wow.
Right?
I thought you were going to say like 20. Oh, no, my goodness.
We have a lot. We have 32 tigers.
Wow.
We have a couple of ligers, which are created when through artificial breeding practices. You put a lion and a tiger in together, and
who knew? It's kind of like a labradoodle,
right? We have lions, we have cougars, which are native to North America. We have leopards, we have a cheetah, we have a Canada lynx, which are native to more North America, so much further north than we are. Bobcats, which are native all over North America. We have four servals. We have a savannah cat, which is a hybrid when you cross a serval with a domestic cat. Their coat patterns are beautiful. They're highly sought after, just like Bengals. Same thing. They're another wildcat domestic cross. But just like with a lot of the issues that you get with, you know, crossing a wild species and a domestic species, they've got one paw in the wild world and one paw in the domestic world. And I'm not saying that it can't work. I'm just saying that it more times than not, it ends up.
Yeah.
It ends up not being great.
Are they separated? Anyway, are they separated?
Yeah. Well, we have some cats that are, you know, roommates, and share space. Either cats who have been rescued together, or cats that we have been able to introduce to one another through a very long and calculated and highly supervised process. So we have, for instance, the Jedi Boys, a group of three male tigers. None of them are blood related, at least not that we know of. They were all three very separate rescues. One of them, Kylo Ren, was actually born at NSYNC Exotics shortly after we rescued his parents from West Texas. And we did not know that his mom was pregnant with him when we rescued her. So that was a bit of a surprise.
I bet. You got two.
Right? But so Kylo Ren was born there, and then not too long after, there was a tiger cub who was found crossing or being brought across the border from Mexico. He was being smuggled in a duffel bag.
Wow.
And Border Patrol agents went over to investigate the duffel bag. And I'm sure that a tiger cub was probably the last thing that they expected to find.
Oh, yeah.
When they ended that. So that was Kenobi, and then Anakin came from another facility up in Amarillo who couldn't care for him. And so we were able to kind of slowly introduce, first was Kenobi into to Kylo Ren's life, and I gotta say, at first Kylo Ren was not impressed with this whole, like, what do you mean I have a new sibling and I'm not the only child anymore? But he warmed up to Kenobi. Kenobi is an absolute sweetheart. And
good.
And then they started getting along great. And then when Anakin came along a little bit later, we were able to introduce him, no problem. And those three are just, they're fantastic. If you ever have a chance to come out and see them, highly recommend it. They have a Millennium Falcon shaped pool, because what else would you put in for a pool for them? and they play tag, they nap, they swim in the pool. And it doesn't matter if it's 100 degrees or if it's like 20 degrees.
Wow.
The big ice storm, like they were out having a pool party.
You are kidding. They were slipping and sliding and having fun.
They were.
That is amazing. And I promise you, I'm going to come out at some point. I will schedule it with you because this is just so exciting to me that you have a rescue situation where you take care of these lions and tigers and jaguars and cheetahs. And I just want to know, what's the most surprising cat that you rescued or that was brought to you? When you say surprise, it's like, okay, you mentioned the surprise at the border when they opened up that duffel bag and there was a little tiger in there. What was the, when you, like, you went, oh my goodness, I can't believe we have this particular cat.
Oh, wow. That is a good question. There have been so many memorable rescue stories over the time there. I mean, I've only been there since, 2010. And
girl, that is 13 years ago. Time flies.
When you look at the fact that, we're over 20 years old as a sanctuary, but I'd say probably that one of the most remarkable stories is a group of three lions that were brought in. They were confiscated from a pretty infamous exhibitor and used for entertainment purposes, things like, come get your picture taken with a tiger cub, which is a whole nother can of worms. That I want to get into in a minute, but
I'll remind you, go ahead.
All right. Sounds good. So they were brought in, they were, confiscated from this particular exhibitor and who we had gotten cats from before and have gotten cats from since. But these three, it was two males and a female, white lions, and the males were in terrible shape. The female, we received an apology from the inspector, the USDA inspector, for bringing us cats in such bad shape. Sheila, the female, was in such bad shape that she could not lift her head to drink water. She could not lift her head out of her own vomit. She was on death's doorstep. And the plan was, everybody thought she was too far gone and didn't think that she could be saved. Vicky, our owner and founder, said, give me a shot. Mm-hmm. If she's this far gone, what's it going to hurt to try? And we still have Sheila. She is still
nice.
Like, to Vicky's testament, she sat there, she hand fed her, meatballs. She, shoved them down her throat. She, she gave her water with a syringe. She, in and out, like every day, all day, every day, she was caring for Sheila. She was right by her side. Through Vicky and our staff and our veterinary team, were able to figure out some of the issues that were causing Sheila to be so bad. We're able to address some of those, and then obviously getting her proper nutrition. And we still have her today. She is big. She is beautiful. She has the most enviable eyelashes of anyone I've ever met.
Those lashes.
Yes. So she is amazing and a testament to, not only what love and, proper care will do, but also the determination and the grit of just, let me try.
Never giving up. And we can do this. We can do this.
Yeah. And that's kind of one of the things that NSYNC Exotics has become known for, is taking in cats who either other sanctuaries won't take or can't take, with medical issues that have been severely abused and neglected. We don't turn those cases down just because they're tough. And I'm not, you know, trying to throw shade on any other legitimate sanctuaries who, you know,
right.
don't have the ability to do it. But
right.
we are incredibly fortunate that, you know, we do have an on-site vet clinic. We do have veterinary staff there. We do have, you know, the ability to do a lot of things thanks to our incredibly generous donors. I mean, we're a completely nonprofit. So, mm-hmm. you know, this wouldn't be possible without our amazing, amazing donors. And yeah, we are just so grateful every day to be able to do what we do.
Well, let me tell you something. I haven't forgotten about the taking pictures with exotics. So
yes.
tell me where you were going to go with that, because I can't wait to hear it. And the reason I'm thinking this is because I've heard stories of people foolishly wanting to take a selfie sometimes with exotics.
Yeah. So luckily this seems to be hopefully falling out of practice, but there's still a lot of places where this exists, where you can go to a county fair or a state fair or some special event, and it's, you know, pay X number of dollars to have your picture taken with a tiger cub, or pay X number of more dollars to feed a tiger cub a bottle, or to
mm-hmm.
Swim with one, or there's even facilities that do this. These are not legitimate sanctuaries. These are definitely for profit, and not their interest is on making money, not the welfare of the animals. But so people think that, oh, like, and then a lot of the advertising will say, you know, your money to do this goes for conservation efforts. It doesn't.
No.
Feeding a tiger cub doesn't do anything for their cousins out in the wild. It doesn't help protect habitat. Doesn't help protect them from poaching. It doesn't help, you know, any of these things. But people who I believe genuinely want to do good think, well, oh, this would be a cool opportunity, and it's for conservation. It's for a good cause. So let me go do this. Well, the fact of the matter is, which, you know, Tiger King kind of shed light on a little
yeah,
bit, is
yeah.
that a lot of these cubs are ripped from their mothers at hours to days old. They're hand raised. They are fed food they're fed a bottle for far too long, and they are purposefully malnourished to keep them small and weaker.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they size and age out of the ability to legally be able to interact with the public again, then they are either sold to the highest bidder, they are put back into essentially like a breeding mill to produce more cubs, or they're simply euthanized. And it's a terrible life for these animals.
Yeah.
You know, even if somebody's like, oh, well, look, they want to interact with humans.
No, they don't.
Oh, they really don't. They really don't. And there was a few years ago, there was a big, huge news story about this facility located in the East. I forget exactly which country right now. I think maybe Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Where they had a big, huge tiger, a tiger
population
sanctuary.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sanctuary.
They had
yeah.
It was called a sanctuary, and people would get to go and, you know, spend time with these tigers, and you know, monks took care of them, and it was supposed to be like this amazing thing, and it was found out that the tigers were being sedated.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were being medicated, so
right.
they would
so they would not docile. Attack anybody. Yeah,
yeah. And so it's you know, when you go against their wild nature, nothing good comes of it for mm-hmm. them, for us. And that's just when it comes down to it. That's really what it is you go against the wild nature, and it's not going to end well for anyone.
Ayla, you mentioned the Tiger King, and again. Mm-hmm. That came out during the pandemic, and it got mm-hmm. everyone's attention. And mm-hmm. some of the stuff that was going on in this true life documentary, mm-hmm. you had a clue, not about that necessarily, that particular location up there in Oklahoma, but because you guys rescue so many exotic cats, you have seen it and heard it all. How did you ever see any of the episodes of it, and how did it impact what you did later, and what were your thoughts on it?
It was something that we have known about, not just that individual, but so many of the individuals. The legitimate sanctuary world and the exotic animal world are pretty small. Mm-hmm. So kind of everybody knows what's going on. And when it came out, it was one of those things that there were a lot of different reactions. Some people were like, I can't watch that. Some people were like, okay, no, I really want to see what it is that they're covering and how the story is being presented.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to make it through because I wanted to see how they were presenting the story.
Mm-hmm.
I only made it a few episodes. And I couldn't watch anymore.
Yeah.
Because the episode where he literally uses like one of those little like grabber things on a pole,
mm-hmm.
and like a snake hook or something to pull this like brand new baby cub who is, you know, screaming and just wants food from mom. He used those tools to pull that tiger cub through a chain link fence. And then takes it and he's like, oh, you know, we're gonna love you and raise you. And like, I just couldn't watch anymore after that.
Yeah.
It broke my heart because that's not the only baby that's ever been treated that way.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many, so many. And I will say the one good thing that did was it got people talking and it kind of opened a lot of people's eyes about, you know, a lot of the things that obviously, you know, us in the sanctuary world, we've known about forever.
Right.
But the general public is.
They had no idea.
Yeah. And, you know, one of our, you know, in addition to rescue, our secondary mission is also education.
Mm-hmm.
But we can only reach an audience of so many. So when that thing hit Netflix and, you know, everybody was home with the pandemic and watching it, it started a lot of conversations. It really did.
And did it clean up any of it? Because I know it's still ongoing. Otherwise, you wouldn't have so many cats to that you rescue. But did it have any kind of a dent? Did it cause more than just the conversation?
I think it did. I think it did. It's a slow process to clean up. It's a real long and hard journey, to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you know. He's in jail.
Yes, he is down here in North Texas.
Yes, yeah. And there's been a couple of other people that were in that documentary that have also been convicted, had their animals confiscated. So, you know, it is doing some good. It's just obviously, you know, not fast enough for those of us who are just concerned about the welfare of the animals.
Mm-hmm.
But there is legislation that is waiting to be signed into law called the Big Cat Public Safety Act that would make it illegal on a federal level for the public to interact with these cats. So things like cub petting would go away.
Mm-hmm.
It would make it illegal for private owners to breed or buy or sell or trade these cats, which currently is not illegal on a federal level. It's currently legal in Texas. There's certain ordinances by city and by county where it may not be legal, but mm-hmm. Texas as a whole, it's legal to own these cats, to breed them, to buy them, to sell them. Like it's kind of ridiculous, honestly,
yeah.
When you think about it.
Are you surprised how many cats get rescued in large cities like Dallas or Houston or San Antonio in the city limits?
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I saw an episode of a show. It's been a while back, but like somebody had a tiger in an apartment in like Manhattan.
An apartment?
Yeah, like a high-rise apartment.
Goodness.
The firefighters got called for a fire call, and they look in the window, and there's this tiger staring back at them. They're like, oh, well, what do we do with this? yeah, it's ridiculous. But then again, I guess, you know, people, no matter where they live, people are going to believe that they can, you know, believe what they want to believe and believe that they can do what they want to do.
Right. And that,
of what the law says.
I know exactly what you're saying. And we're talking again with Aaliyah Culver with NSYNC Exotics. And NSYNC Exotics, you guys, the nonprofit that rescues, takes care of rescued exotic feline animals. And this was, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, and I wanted you to elaborate a little bit, because if it weren't for Vicky, can you tell Vicky's story, how she started this entire organization back in 1991 when she wound up with a cougar?
Yes. So, because it's not illegal to have these cats. Mm-hmm. So she was currently working at the time, she was working as a vet tech with a local veterinary office. Someone brought in a cougar who was their quote unquote pet for some treatment, and they, you know, they performed the treatment on this cougar, and then called the owner saying, "Okay, you know, pal is ready," and nobody ever showed up. So the vet's office now has a cougar that no one is claiming.
Oh, boy.
And it's not like, you know, your local vet's office where you see these pictures of, like, you know, here's cats available for adoption. Like, you can't just put a cougar up available for adoption in a vet's office.
Yeah.
Even though it's legal, there are a lot of rules and regulations and hoops to jump through and red tape and all these kind of things to make sure that the people who have these animals are, you know, taking care of them. So the options were few. And back then there weren't, I don't believe that there were any sanctuaries around. And so Vicky just felt, you know, she was like, well, I can't just let this cat die. So she figured out what it was going to take for her to be able to bring the cat home. Mm-hmm. So she went through all of the paperwork and all of the certifications and all of everything. She built an enclosure. She secured appropriate food sources. She, you know, did all of the things, and she brought the cougar home and started caring for the cougar herself. And not too terribly long later, there was another cougar who needed a home.
Mm-hmm.
And she was contacted to see if, you know, hey, would you, you're taking such great care of this one, would you be open to taking care of another one? And so, you know, that was Tahoe and Ranger. And you know, then not like, you know, a little while later, Kenya, a tiny little tiger cub, she had an interaction with Kenya's breeder, and who's the breeder said, oh, this little tiger cub's so ugly, nobody's gonna want to buy her, probably just gonna have to euthanize her. So Vicky rescued Kenya.
I was about to say, so Vicky to the rescue.
Yep. And you know, here we are over 20 years as an official 501c3 later. And, you know, hundreds of cats that we have either rescued and cared for their entire lives at our sanctuary, or have helped transport from where they were to other legitimate sanctuaries mm-hmm. that could care for them. So we're definitely very much involved in the rescue network as well. So if we don't have space to be able to house an animal, then, you know, we can help with transportation, which, as you might imagine, is pretty specialized and pretty nuanced. There's a lot of
I can imagine
go into that.
So, I can imagine. So my question, I guess, is, since you house them, is this like their final home for a majority of them? In other words, this is why you have over 70 right now, or are they? Mm-hmm. Or do you, like you said, sometimes when it comes to, you know, house pets like cats and dogs, they might, you know, adopt families and mm-hmm. they've quizzed the families and they find them a home. So are mm-hmm. with the exotic cats, is NSYNC like their final destination?
Yep. We are where
that's amazing.
They go for the rest of their lives. So when we rescue an animal, when we say yes, if a private owner says, hey, I can't take care of this animal anymore for whatever reason, when we say yes, that's yes to potentially over 20 years of food, of vet care, of maintenance, of, you know, we're saying yes to that animal for the rest of their lives.
Okay, so this is
however long that may be.
So this is where, and you're a nonprofit, this is where the donors and the partners come in. How have you been able to tell me about some of the donors and the partners? Because I know as a nonprofit, that's not easy. And then to have a sanctuary that's a nonprofit, that's got to be triply difficult.
Yeah, it's very, very hard. Our operating budget is somewhere around $1.3 million a year.
Wow.
And 20,000 of that is just food every month. Because, you know, because we're feeding these guys quality, nutritious food that they would need. So it's not cheap.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are completely run off of donations. We are open to the public on Saturdays and Sundays. We have special events throughout the year. And we have adoption programs where you can symbolically adopt. We are not going to let you take the cat home.
Right.
You can symbolically adopt a cat. And people do that for, it makes great gifts. And like, you know, what do you get for the person who has everything? Well, a symbolic adoption of a tiger or a bobcat or a cougar, like, because who has that, right? And we're actually coming up on our biggest fundraising event of the year that's happening on September the 21st. It's called North Texas Giving Day.
Right.
It is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's such a great event, and it lets people know about a lot of nonprofits that exist in North Texas. And it's also our biggest fundraising event of the entire year. So this year, our goal is $200,000, and that money will go for not only, you know, food, veterinary care, maintenance, things like that, but some upgrades that are much needed in our sanctuary. When it rains, we tend to have some drainage issues when we get a lot of rain. So that's been on our kind of wish list for a while, but other things have kind of taken precedent. So that's another thing that you know, that we're hoping for in that 200,000 that's our goal.
Thank you, Ayla. And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.